Japanese animation, which is called anime, is loaded with animals and with animal-like fantasy creatures. It has been from its beginnings. Studio 360's Jocelyn Gonzalez looks at some of the animals of anime.
Anime began to evolve during World War II as Allied soldiers occupied Japan and native artists got a taste of Western pop culture. In the post-war years, animators copied the manic energy of early Mickey Mouse and the round, dewy-eyed grandeur of Disney. But because Japanese studios on a tight budget couldn't fully animate their cartoons, a completely unique style emerged, one that experimented with holding static images for a long time before exploding into big action scenes. Fred Patton, the animation critic, says Osamu Tezuka was the pioneer of this period. Tezuka was especially inspired by Disney's Bambi.
In Bambi, all of the animals were talking with each other and they were friends. And it was like the only enemy was man, the hunter. And Tezuka said he felt that if the animals were really intelligent enough that they could talk with each other, they would try to talk to man also and get man to accept them on equal social terms.
Tezuka created the series Kimba the White Lion, also known as the Jungle Emperor, first as a comic strip and then as a 60s TV series in the U.S. Kimba was about an idealistic lion cub who wants all creatures in the animal kingdom to live in harmony. But Tezuka threw a wrench into that idea.
You wouldn't really be able to do it because the carnivores need meat to eat. And even if the carnivores wanted to be friendly and peaceful, they would starve to death if they tried that. So how would you work that into a story?
Tezuka dealt with the problem by introducing a friendly human scientist who comes up with a meat substitute. Imagine the whole animal kingdom going vegan. The theme of animals versus man persisted in Tezuka's work and influenced the following generation of anime directors.
We plant trees, humans tear them up. The forest does not come back. If we kill the humans, we will save the forest.
Definitely with Princess Mononoke, it's the survival of the species.
Matt Burnett is a young filmmaker who's studying animation.
Man who is creating this town, they're harvesting iron out of the mountains, and by doing that, they're stripping the forest and destroying the homes of these animals.
In the movie Princess Mononoke, the giant wolves are sort of like the gods of the wolves, and there are also some giant boars, which are like the gods of the boars, and these are presented as the old order that is being replaced by the new human societies that are coming in. They are no longer living with nature, they are conquering nature and bending nature to their will.
Will you join forces with Sun and fight the humans?
No. All that would do is cause more hatred.
There is nothing you can do, boy. Soon the demon mark will spread and kill you. Now leave this place at sunrise. Return, and I shall kill you.
Hayao Miyazaki's 90s masterpiece meditates on Japanese tribal history, the era when worship of the kami, or ancient animal gods, started dying out. Japan maintains reverence for animals, even in its modern high-tech culture, because in their folklore and superstition, animals both real and mythical are endowed with supernatural power.
There are two trickster animals, and those are the fox and the tanuki. In Japan, they're believed to be shapeshifters. They can change their shapes into various objects to play tricks on people. Foxes are usually portrayed as rather vicious and mischievous, whereas the tanuki tend to be more friendly. Cats are often considered sneaky.
Are you implying that we're nothing more than a bunch of prowling alley cats?
Hey, calm down.
Dragons are usually almost godlike.
You have awakened me from my slumber.
In Japanese mythology, dragons are supposedly responsible for earthquakes. An earthquake is due to a sleeping dragon under the ground moving in its sleep.
Of course, not all anime animals are these traditional primal images. Some are just pets, but not the kind you're used to. They can be fuzzy monsters, avenging bunnies, or the unusual mutt adopted by the space outlaws in Cowboy Bebop.
They find a dog. His name is Ein. He's a data dog, which is never explained. He looks like a dog, but he's got this little intelligence or quirkiness about him. He knows how to type on a computer for some reason.
This whole thing gives me a headache, and all because of this worthless mutt.
These animal characters appear in the slapstick to lighten it up for all these characters who are dealing with all these weighty issues, and they're not at all like the animal sidekick of American cartoon. They don't talk, they don't crack wise when the hero's in trouble.
I hate kids and pets. They're all a royal pain in the butt.
Welcome to my pet shop. Tonight, you will find something you desire.
Pet Shop of Horrors is a story or plot. Somebody will come in and buy an exotic pet. The purchaser is usually some very rich person who is arrogant and may often have, you know, committed crimes. And so the pets are used more as a vehicle for supernatural vengeance against this human.
Pika, pika.
Squirtle. Pikachu and all of his companions are, they sort of stand in for nature, but they're really more plush toys than anything else.
Lots of parents won't let their kids have actual hamsters until they can prove they can raise a monster in a video game.
The Japanese never outgrow their cartoons. Anime has a critter for every age group in every story, from cats that transform into spaceships to mermaids rekindling lost love. And if you don't want the trouble of caring for real hamsters, you'll have Hamtaro on the Cartoon Network. No cage cleaning required.
I'm Hamtaro, and I'm a hamster.
For Studio 360, I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez.
Having fun, Hamtaro?
Kush, 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 kush.